Ramblers Get Ramblin'.
So what's going on, fellas? Everybody good?
Yeah, not much going on. We're in the, I mean, here we're kind of just, it just feels like the pandemic is going along and nothing particularly interesting is happening. It's funny that as people are coming out, you're probably more at risk than you were during the lockdown because now more people are out, but fewer people are wearing masks and at the same time. So I guess people are feeling better about things, even though it doesn't necessarily make sense to feel better about things. But who knows if you ever really needed a mask, if it does any good. And this is Florida, too. It's different from New York. In New York, you're actually, a mask helps keep your face warm. But here, you know, you're out, it's hot, it's humid, it's sweaty, it's hard to breathe through the thing. You're adjusting it all the time. It's getting drenched in sweat, and it just doesn't really work that good.
Yeah.
I definitely agree.
I just got in, guys. I was late. I'm sorry. Dinner ran a little late.
No worries, man.
Yeah. Anyway, what's going on?
We're talking about the pandemic.
Yeah, we got the boy here. We got someone that was actually born after 1990. So
I'm a Zoomer.
He was born 2001, right?
Yes.
So he's born into 9/11, and he turns 18 in the coronavirus apocalypse.
Yeah. There you go. Happy 18th birthday. Yeah. Well, actually, you're pushing 19 now.
Yeah, August I'll be 19, and it's weird. 18 was just school. Yeah. 18 was just school.
How's that dating scene going for you?
Not well with the coronavirus amidst us. There's no one that wants to go on a hot date while you can contract a deadly disease, you know?
At least you have an excuse, right?
In my day, they didn't stop us. Come on.
Yeah.
We had to Christopher. Christopher, try to get closer to that mic. We can barely hear you.
How about now?
It's still kind of weak.
Okay. All right.
Some kind of keyboard noise.
And there's a weird noise. Is that my noise?
I think it might be yours, dude, because as soon as you popped on.
All right. I'll call back. I'll see what I could do. Something might be off with my on my end of things.
Okay. The noise stopped. Oh, well.
Carry on.
Carry on. Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't expect the dating scene to be, that active right now.
No, definitely not. But think of it this way: there were people who were born during the AIDS epidemic, and so people were getting laid back then in the 80s. When did AIDS break out? Do you know what year?
I think in the late 70s.
Oh, so we're all AIDS babies.
Pretty much.
We managed to get born. Yeah, I'm 1980 and you guys are 78, I think. So we managed to get born in the AIDS epidemic.
I'm 76.
Oh, you're 76. Okay, I think that was before AIDS.
That was before it was known.
That was the disco epidemic.
Well, I was in Romania, so it didn't apply there. The disco, at least. Or the AIDS. I don't think there was much AIDS going on in Romania. I'm sure there was some, but yeah.
Now there's just communism.
Yeah, that's another story.
I was pondering on whether I should say it, but yeah, but that's
it wasn't
that's
that bad. They turned the screws in the 80s tighter and tighter. It was getting worse and worse. But in the 70s, it wasn't that bad, in Romania at least.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then, so you came here after the wall came down then?
No. I got here in 86.
Oh, so you escaped.
Oh, but my father came in 83 with my sister, and my mom didn't want to go, so he left us behind, basically. And my mom decided on joining him in 86 because she thought I would maybe blame her for, you know, my father not being around, which I wouldn't have, but that's what she thought. I kind of feel bad for her, actually, because she, you know, she had her whole life there, you know, career and good friends and you know, nice place and all that. And she just had to start from scratch here from nothing. She was like 43. She did the best she could, but it wasn't worth it. I feel bad for her, you know. Had it hard enough and to have done that. But who knows? Who knows what, you know, what would have happened if I stayed there? Probably worse, but we'll never be able to say for sure.
I guess.
Yeah, and they might not have given the whole family a visa. I know my mother's friend got out, but they wouldn't give a travel visa to the whole family. Now, this was back in the 1960s, so things were more locked down, I think. But they had to go to Switzerland or someplace neutral on vacation. And him and his mother got out, and the father stayed behind. And then they got from Switzerland into Germany, and then from Germany to the United States.
Now, my father did it legally. He used to listen to, what is it called, Radio Free Europe on shortwave radio, which was a no-no. You know, you had to do it like hiding. So he was listening to all the Western propaganda, and he did it legally. He applied legally. You know, he had some pressure on him. They tried to, like, scare him. He had to go on a hunger strike, I know. They locked him up a little bit. But then they, you know, I guess from because of the pressure from the outside, you know, the media, whatever, he was eventually allowed to leave. And then because we were family members, you know, myself and my mom were also allowed later on once she decided that she was going to follow, you know.
Yeah, well, that sounds nice. It sounds like your father paved the way, and he had to suffer a lot for you guys.
It wasn't as bad as you would have thought, I don't think. I know a lot of people actually like crossed the border, you know, like the Yugoslavian border, and they would get shot at. I knew somebody who did that, and then he brought his whole family here later. And, you know, some of them didn't make it, you know, trying to cross the Danube River, I think, you know, they get shot. Because I think if you ended up in Yugoslavia was like the jewel of all the Eastern Bloc countries, you know, was much more free. You know, you were actually, I believe, allowed to travel west, and they were semi-capitalist, you know.
Yeah, and then it all fell apart with Yugoslavia was where we had those wars, right, with Albania and...
Well, basically Bosnia, you know, because Yugoslavia, it was artificially put together, you know, like a few different smaller countries kind of put together, and Tito...
Yeah, who didn't like each other.
Yeah, but, you know, they had a strong leader, Tito, and, you know, most people loved this guy. As long as he was alive, you know, they did a really good job. They were really strong, and looked at as a you know, a great example of what you can do, you know, like in a positive way. Once there were, I guess there, in, you know, there were United States and Western Europe had some interest in breaking that up and weakening Yugoslavia and the depleted uranium, I understand they bombed Serbia with, you know, under the, the guise, if that's the right word, of, you know, oh, that they were persecuting the Muslims in Bosnia. And I'm not saying they're, you know, anybody was a good guy or a bad guy, but you know how it is when a power once has some interest somewhere else, will find whatever excuse, even if it's not really the whole truth, to go on the attack and get whatever they're looking for. And I believe that's really the case, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a long time ago since I heard about it or thought about it, but I think the gist that I got of it was that the interference, like the United States sided with one side, then sided with the other, and the interference that happened there made everything much worse than it probably would have been on its own.
Are we surprised?
Right, meddling, like, you know, what are you doing there? You know, like, I'm sure there were interests, you know, that you know, and they didn't want to see a strong Yugoslavia. They're, Ramos would tell me, he would say that, the Yugoslavian army was the strongest of all of them. You know, they're pretty tough. And, they're basically, it's a shame because, like I said, in the communist days, Yugoslavia was looked at as a really great country, you know, for a communist country. It was beautiful and it was in a much better shape than the others. And they destroyed it. To this day, I understand it's really crappy. And they haven't been allowed to be part of the European Union. So if I'm a Romanian, I am able to, if I have a Romanian citizenship, I would be allowed to travel in Europe. And if I am able to survive to find a job, I'm allowed to be there anywhere in Western Europe, basically, or, you know, a part of the European Union. A Serbian would not have that.
That's crazy. What about Croatia? And I'm not sure about Croatia and Slovenia. Are they officially European Union?
I would assume they are because I think more, you know, they're more down with the West, you know.
Well, the Germany, once Yugoslavia, once the Soviet Union fell, everybody took their pieces. Turkey took its pieces. Germany took, and the U.S. took its pieces. And Serbia was just left with Serbia.
You're right. This is what I'm saying, Christopher. You told me a lot about that over the years. I didn't know much about it. You seem to know more.
Well, now I know about the same about it. But like, that's what it is. After it broke up, that's when the Bosnian War started, and then the Germans helped to free their like, I guess they were close to Croatia and Slovenia.
Right.
And they freed them from the rest of Yugoslavia. And then Turkey was closer via Albania to Bosnia and then eventually Kosovo. So it's all kind of connected. And then Serbia was the heart of Yugoslavia during the communist years, but it had all those like extra provinces to help with manpower, labor, production, whatever valuable things each part brought, you know. And it must have been tough for Tito to deal with all those different people. And they skirted the line between capitalism and communism. I don't know if you mentioned that before, but I was in and out. A lot of bootleg goods used to come into the Eastern Bloc through Yugoslavia and stuff. So yeah, it was pretty. But now I don't know what it's like now. I would imagine it's not very good right now.
I heard it's bad. I heard it's pretty grim. It's never really recovered. And they chipped away, you know, like over the years, they kept chipping away, taking more and more. You know, like what Montenegro broke off, and Macedonia, and everything that they could be, they took.
Everybody took a piece. Everybody took a piece.
Yeah, that's very true.
I'm curious, Tyler. I didn't get to properly welcome you because I was having technical difficulties. But how are you doing? Where are you at? And how is it around you?
It's decent. I'm in Maspeth, so it's like even when you go out, normally when you go out, you'll see like one person walking down my block. Now it's like I haven't seen anyone. Yeah, that's kind of weird to see. You know, you're just walking down the street, and you don't see anyone. Yeah,
zombie apocalypse. Yeah,
a few people.
My mother said the same thing. Nobody's out. Everyone's being really responsible. I guess Maspeth is too lame to like spread the disease or even in the like in 79 in the blackout, nobody even looted or rioted in Maspeth. It's like a very dull place.
Yeah, it's fucking boring.
You know,
even in the pandemic we find a way to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Some places have it, some places don't. I loved Maspeth, though. I loved Maspeth when I was there.
And it's a nice place, yeah.
Yeah, like it was peaceful. And that's what else can you ask for but peace? You know,
it's spread out. It's so strange. It seems to like be like everywhere. There's like there's like different types of Maspeth. There's the residential, there's the industrial, and it just kind of seems to seep through like everywhere, like tentacles. I don't know where it ends and where it begins.
Right, it cuts into some of. It's got some borders Ridgewood. It borders Middle Village. It borders Elmhurst. It's pretty crazy.
Doesn't it basically border like
Woodside?
Even Greenpoint, maybe or no?
Yeah, it borders Brooklyn. Yeah,
that's crazy. That's like some.
I'm pretty sure we border Williamsburg. Like the very start of Williamsburg. I think that's where the 59, when it goes over the bridge, that's where Williamsburg starts.
That's true. I used to take that 59 over to Williamsburg. The problem is that I would get out to Williamsburg. And
I think that might be Bushwick, but it's not far.
And Bushwick. That's right, Bushwick. Yeah, or better known as East Williamsburg now.
Right.
Jesus.
But like, but I remember going out on the 59 to hang out and stuff. And then if I didn't catch the 11:59 bus, I was basically stranded. And I never caught the 11:59 bus because, you know how it is. So like at 2 a.m., I'd be stranded out in Williamsburg. And it's like impossible to get back, which was a real pain in the ass. But like, because the 59 stops running at midnight. It was such a useful bus. It should be running more.
Well, that's what kept Maspeth quiet, is it was in what used to be known as a double car fare zone, which just meant that you had to take a bus to get to a train, and there didn't used to be transfers. So if you had a job in Manhattan, it cost you double to commute, plus way more time with a bus and a train. So Maspeth retained like a car society. And it wasn't convenient. So when neighborhoods like went down, all the neighborhoods along train lines went down because the poorest people needed to be near the best public transportation.
Yeah.
And
which is weird because the whole thing was based, you know, Robert Moses' plan. That whole thing was based on oil. When oil became expensive, Then it became more like a European city where the mass transit became the areas near the subway became more valuable, and that's what we saw the last 20 years, basically.
Yeah, with gentrification, all of a sudden these neighborhoods that were along subway, really convenient subway lines, you know, have shot way up in value and way surpassed Maspeth when some of them were ghettos and, you know, places that you weren't, you didn't want to be there after it got dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at Long Island City.
Yeah, Long Island City is another one.
Williamsburg, man. Williamsburg. Back in like the mid-90s when I was taking the train to work on the the M train, which is above level, I would be looking down and I'm like, oh my God, this is a dump full of graffiti and deserted buildings.
Now the graffiti's art.
And I didn't know, you know, because I wasn't aware. I didn't really get out, but you know, so I didn't know what was going on. But years later, I went to a show in like 2002, and to a concert in those areas, you know, in Brooklyn. And I'm like, what's going on here? I see like cafes and young white people who look like they have money. Like, what is this? You know, I didn't know about this gentrification thing. And, you know, again, you for the people who don't know, because not everybody's from New York, you know, the rebranding of Bushwick as, quote unquote, East Williamsburg is really because trying to make people think that it's like Williamsburg, which Williamsburg was a dump 30 years ago. Now it's like the Mecca of hipsters. And it's just been like expanding ever since into Bushwick and other places.
Like a fucking disease.
Like a festering fucking tumor. I agree.
Well, there's good and bad, you know, but it's good and bad.
They're horrible people, man. Horrible people. Every single time I ended up in Williamsburg, I got into an altercation with somebody.
Really?
Fucking people suck, man. I'll tell you a quick story. One day. We decide to go. Now, Maya, I don't know, Tyler, I don't know if you were with us or not, but Maya was in a carriage, and we were into vinyl, and we were, I was trying to get a stylus, a needle from my turntable, and there was a couple of used record shops that I wanted to check out. I mean, we were in Williamsburg, so we went into one, and Maya was acting up a little, so I figured, you know what, I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to take her out, and, you know, while Lauren looks, you know, I'm going to take her outside. So I take her outside. She's still whining, but, you know, she's three, right? Yeah. So this couple walks past, and they looked at me, and I'm like, oh, just say something, right? So they walk past, and I know something's going to happen. I know they're going to say something, right? So they get to the end of the block, they turn around, and then they're like, and they start mocking my daughter. I swear to God, they started mocking my daughter. So I started yelling. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
I dare one of these hipster fucking...
They're terrible.
Beanie-wearing little festering fucks to try and, like, do some shit in the street. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Are you looking for 12-inch records? Oh, wow. That cover looks pretty beaten up. Do you have enough money for it? I will put them in a chokehold.
Don't tell me, man.
Yeah.
I lived it. Yeah. I lived it.
I will.
Nah, they don't have the balls, man.
They do have the balls. They could be passive-aggressive. They could be passive-aggressive.
Yeah, very.
But what they can't do
is
fight
back. That's a different thing.
What they can't do is fight back. What they can't do is get into a physical altercation because they know they'll be crushed, like in Coca-Cola.
But you know what I think is hilarious about a place like Williamsburg and Greenpoint. The thing is, you know, it's what's underneath, right? It's like from 100 years ago was all the industry, all the oil and the chemicals that are poured. And, you know, there it's still in there, you know. You don't just get rid of it easily, you know. Like we were talking about on a prior episode about Newton Creek, you know. It's one of those, what do you call it, Superfund sites? The disaster, you know, the environmental disaster that they're trying to clean up. So you still to this day, you have very few parks and trees. And the appeal of Williamsburg is that it's close to Manhattan, right? And that it has all these, good restaurants. But as far as living there, where they've been building, you know, modern buildings there, and the rents are really high for all these hipsters, I wouldn't live there. It's not healthy. That's what's, right. what's you know. I would, you know, you're better off living a little further away in a. Again, I mean, everything's polluted, but relatively, it's bad. You're better off, and you have more green in other areas, more in green spaces, you know. And if you want to go to a nice restaurant, you go to Williamsburg maybe, but you don't live there, and you pay less rent, and you're healthier.
Yeah, and I think it has to do with healthiness of the mind too, because you know the more hipster one gets, the more they enjoy partaking in these kind of socially degenerate ritualistic lifestyles, because you know, and this doesn't go for everyone, of course. Like, I know some people who enjoy practicing safe sex. That's fine, cool. But some of these people will preach that, you know, you have to have at least like 15, 20 partners. And it's not, you know, you can't quantify. You cannot quantify.
Whose rules are these?
These are,
yeah,
do they have
15,
20 partners? I mean,
these people have.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And I do enjoy the of.
Pornhub doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's fantasy, you know. Yeah. Fantasy and reality are two very different things. When it comes down to the, you know, it comes down to it, it's like, whoa, come on, man, that's nasty.
Yeah, it is. And
it is. And the more partners you have, even if you practice safe sex, the more partners you have, the more likely you will see some kind of venereal disease.
Not even the mental toll.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The psychological, yeah. You know.
The internet
psychological
is
just as bad.
The internet's given rise to weird people being able to get together and be ridiculous. Like, have you heard? Do you know what an incel is? It's a term I just learned a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain it to us, Tyler? What's an incel?
I have no idea.
An incel.
I don't know either.
An incel is internet speak for involuntary celibate. And basically what that means, it's supposed to be like this insult against people who can't have sex because they're very like fat. Overweight, you know, they're tired and fed up with women and how they act towards men and how they can't get it and how they just can't be a nice guy and get, you know, they're incels exist, you know, like the basement dwellers that like can't find anyone and they're mad at, they're like misogynistic about it, like to a significant degree. And that's basically what an incel is. But I mean,
Yeah, there's all kinds of cases. Yeah, there's always been,
well,
you know.
Well,
what it is,
a lot of times it's somebody who, let's say he's not particularly good looking, or he's short, or he's got acne, or he's got something going on, that if he would just be a nice guy, someone would be attracted to him, but he's decided he's an incel, and so he just goes around saying horrible things about women, and I'm going to dress in rags because, you know, life dealt me a bad hand, and I'm just going to be nasty and rotten as possible.
So basically, the guy's a loser. That's what you're saying.
He's a loser. You know,
he's a fucking loser.
If you were born ugly, you should try harder to be like polite and respectful and have a good heart and be kind to people. Yeah, if you're a little bit ugly and you go around being a piece of shit, of course nobody's going to want to have sex with you. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Can you guys hear me? My signals. Okay,
yep.
Good.
Your volume is always low.
Yeah, I don't.
But we could still hear you well. We could still hear you well. I can.
I mean, the world might be better off if you can't hear me, but like,
no, don't say that.
But I'm glad that you can.
Are you an incel, Chris?
you know it. Incel for life.
Yeah, no.
Incel
for life. Yeah, no, and I mean
straight out of incel.
Straight out of incel. Jesus Christ.
You know what's sad? You know what? There's always going to be, as they always were and there always will be, right? All kinds of people, all kinds of problems. And so, you know, like if you're lucky enough to like maybe eventually understand maybe what you didn't understand and try to be a better person, you know, and everybody to be like, to be understanding and, you know, like give the benefit of the doubt. I think that's what it is. You know, it's like you get old enough, you get to a point you're like, look, everybody's got something. Be good to them. I'm not saying I've been wise enough to be that way, but I think that that's what it probably should be more, you know, more than anything. If we have enough wisdom, we understand everybody's got problems and issues and insecurities. So, you know, we should be nice. And if they're nasty, you know, whatever, you know, it's probably their problem.
Yeah. And, you know, and even good looking people have to work to find a good relationship.
Sure.
It's not like you're good looking and, you know, everything falls into your lap.
Yeah, there's the reverse, you know, where people hate you maybe because you're good looking, you know?
Right. And they'll have a name for that too. You know, it's just, I think every generation has to figure it out, you know? They everybody goes through the same thing. I mean, you go back to societies, you know, hundreds of years ago, 1,000 years ago, back to the Romans, man. I mean, you know, Pompeii, I mean, for Christ's sake, you know, it's everybody's got a different name for it, but it's just people being people. You know, the technology might be different.
Wasn't Pompeii where everyone got incinerated in a volcano?
And then their ashes
But Pompeii was full of, like, you know, the red light district for Rome.
Oh, I thought your point was like nobody wants to fuck a petrified pile of ass.
No! Gee, Christ!
That was my point.
Get your mind out of the gutter, dude. John's an incel. No, but I'm...
The Sodom and Gomorrah.
The point I'm trying to make is every generation has a name for whatever, but really it's just the same thing.
When I die, I'm going to have myself petrified with an erection so I can get laid thousands of years in the future.
Wow.
I'm sure there'll be a name for that, too. That might be something new.
The NYC Necrophilia Program.
Wow.
Yeah, no, but a lot of these people, you know, hipster culture, and in a lot of ways it's good, but in a lot of ways it damages some part of your brain that deals with the classification of pleasure, because
I've always seen it as very childish.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Well, all I have to say is I fail to see anything good about hipster society. It's all pretension on mommy and daddy's dime, and whatever they think they've discovered first, and they'll let you know that they were into it well before it was popular. You know, they just, I don't know. It's very pretentious. It's a very pretentious culture.
Yeah.
Just be real, man.
Yeah.
That's
just
all.
Be real with yourself. That's all.
Or don't even be real.
People don't like you too bad.
Just be quiet.
And figure out how to exploit these sad sacks and make a little money.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's very easy. You just have to find the next pile of stupid shit that fucking pieces of shit will hold on to, like Bitcoin and vinyl, you know, vinyl records. And I'm not saying that to everyone, but, you know, anything
VHS.
That these people would find cool, yeah. Anything that these people would find cool, oh man, how fucking vinyl record. You know, people collect that shit for real, like you and me. A lot of these hipsters will just buy it because everyone else is buying it. So if you set a trend, you could be like, hey, you know, the new trend is, you know, pouring bleach over yourself. Yeah. And, you know.
They're buying the new stuff, yeah.
Did you hear the
Yeah, exactly.
No, there's an old joke. About the hipsters, which is, did you hear about the hipster who burned his mouth?
No.
He drank his coffee before it was cool.
Ah!
Oh, man.
Ba-dum-bum. You're here all night, huh?
Yeah. I do weddings and bar mitzvahs, just so you spread the word.
I will.
Yeah, but it's true. It's you know, pretty bad situation. There is a level of pretension. Although I was introduced to a lot of good beers, I have to admit they're like
Barcade.
That can all be bad.
My game improved after Williamsburg. It did, and my overall drinking improved. I think that like I tried a lot of new stuff, and I think that's really good. And I think that makes up for a lot of it. So
yeah, I like the hipsters who drink like Rolling Rock and Pabst and stuff like that to prove how cool they are.
Well, that's what you do afterwards. So you have a really good whiskey, then you have a good cocktail of some sort, and then you know at the end of it you just start downing PBR or
Yeah, but there's certain things about them that I appreciate. You know, I've been drinking cheap beer for a very long time just because I'm cheap. And then the hipsters come along, and I can pretend I'm drinking cheap beer because I'm trying to make a social statement.
There you go.
Yeah, but you don't want the hipsters to start buying up and making Pabst popular, because then Pabst will become very expensive.
I don't think Pabst – I think there's so many of those different beers. Yeah, I think Pabst Blue Ribbon wasn't as expensive back then as it is now. That's true. It's
Tito's.
Well, Tito's is more than hipster, though. Tito's was big out.
They got popular.
But PBR is one of those examples. Although PBR is more bro-y, but like I'm trying to think of the other beers. There's some stuff that was nobody really knew about outside of like Latin America that became pretty big here. Like there was this beer called Tecate. Have you guys ever heard of that beer?
They sponsored boxing.
Right. So they were big in Mexico and Latin America, and now they're pretty big. If you go to Williamsburg, almost every bar that I've been to. I mean, I haven't been there.
Listen, I've seen it down here in Florida. Once it comes to Florida, it's not cool anymore.
Well, yeah, that's
Florida, where beers go to die.
Yeah, look at what happened when the U.S. got there.
Stopped being cool around that time. Yeah, New Orleans too.
Yeah,
it just got old.
Well, how responsible do you think? I would assume that the so-called hipsters have something to do with the improvement in variety of food and organic stuff. I would think so. I don't know.
I think so too. I think it improved. Now there's a lot of stuff that I still wouldn't eat. That's like in a lot of those stores. And I'm like, I don't know if that qualifies as food, but like, there were some things that were good, and it helped. It helped my diet, I guess too. You know, to be around there. I used to go around there a lot. I'm not gonna lie. It's okay. It's good.
Like I said, if it's a good restaurant, I wouldn't live there. But you know, if you have good restaurant, I would go. Why not? I've gone.
Go to Bushwick or Ridgewood right now, though, than Williamsburg. Because the thing is that after gentrification, you see, it's like colonization. Like at first, you get pirates, criminals. You know, you get all sorts of like crazy missionaries that are too crazy for even the Church of England, you know, in the 1600s. You get all sorts of crazy people, you know what I mean, that are there.
Yes.
But what happens is eventually it becomes Florida. And so
yeah,
we've reached the point where like it's become Florida. And
why you guys have to be picking on Florida? Jesus.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, now, you know.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Tyler. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. You go to Williamsburg, and you see all these like old, washed up hippies who just want to live like they lived in their 20s, and it's kind of sad to see, because like as much as you know, say what you want, hipsterdom. At least you know there are some good facets that arise from hipsterdom. Staying a hipster just kind of X's out all those good facets and just makes you a self-emotional wreck. And it's like when you're living with the when you're living being detached from non-material desire, when you're living inside of a system that advocates for, you know, you don't need X, Y, and Z, you need vinyl records, you need the next big thing. If you keep living like that, there's never going to be a time when you can stop and, like, take a look around you and say, I'm living, you know?
In Williamsburg, you wouldn't want to take...
That's the American way.
Yeah. I'd argue in some places.
Williamsburg is a hideous place to look at. It went from hideous factories and industrial stuff to, like, hideous tall buildings and crowded streets. So, like, it sucks now, too.
Well, the worst of all worlds, I'm sorry, but the worst of all worlds, you know, I've told you this a bunch of times. Downtown Brooklyn is like hell. It's like the worst of the old ghetto, the worst of hipsters, right? And the worst of corporations.
Exactly, yeah. It's the worst.
Worst of all of them boroughs. Together in one thing.
one nice package.
And one symbol of it is that new arena for the Brooklyn Nets that just looks so hideous.
Barclays, yeah.
So filthy. Barclays Center. Yeah, I don't know what the hell they were thinking, man. What the hell is that thing? It's disgusting.
Like an abandoned Soviet project. That's what
Barclays. a downed UFO.
Yeah, just like the Soviet Union was going to build the greatest building of all time, the tallest skyscraper, and like after the curtain, you know, after it fell apart, they left it that way.
Right, like in Romania after the so-called revolution, you know, they just left any buildings that were being constructed like that, and you know, to just rot.
Yeah. So Tyler, it happens a lot in China.
Tyler, are you looking to? I was checking out the classifieds, and they have positions available for contact tracers, which seems like it would be a cool job. Like you're following people around on their, you know, on their cell phones. You see all these like little dots moving around maps, and you're like, ooh, you know, you have control of information, as Newman would say, right?
Yeah.
Jesus, are you serious?
You call somebody, and you know, like they tell you, here's your assignment. Here are the people that you know that make payments of contact. Can you call somebody? And you know, like, you know, you could even use outdated slang. You could do it and be like, "Yo, is this John Smith? Listen, the government told me to call you. All right, I'm calling from the government. The government said that one of your friends is infected." So, like, you need to watch it back. I just called you because the government told me to call you. And they pay pretty handsomely for this. And you're basically going around on a tablet looking at different people moving around throughout the country or throughout your region. And you're like, ooh, this.
And what is the purpose of this?
The purpose of it is, like, this red infected dot, which is actually a poor person who's been diagnosed with having, like, COVID, has come into contact with the following other little dots. So those little dots are potentially infected, so you must warn all the other little dots that the red dot came near them. And so they can't give you specifics. You can't tell anybody. You know, you just have to say, you know, one of your friends or one of the people you know is sick. And so that's the whole point of the tracing program. The idea...
Hold on here. Wait a second. So they're putting
paranoia.
They're putting fucking classified ads in newspapers for this? Like, they're not, like, getting professionals to do this?
Cuomo wants to raise an army of them. I think he wants 50,000.
It's not in the Daily News classified. I'm kidding about that. But it is a position that can be applied for if you have...
Get the hell out of here.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
I want to be one of those, but specifically, like, people with, like, severe, severe schizophrenia. Like, hey, one of your friends has the coronavirus. Oh, ba-da-ba-da. Like, just mutter some shit into the phone. Like, pig Latin.
Oh, so you have the fucking psychosis.
Yeah.
So you're, like, calling the guy saying, hey, you know, the government's asked me, shut up, Ma! Shut up!
Available now on Amazon.com. The newest volume of the Shadows Grove Anthology by Victor William. The Dying Ember's Burning Light. The Final Tales of Terror. The Twists. The Horror. Everything comes to an end. If you haven't yet read the first two books, they are available for $1.99 each. Book 1, A Shadow's Grove. Book 2, In the Dark Willows. Download now. A Dying Ember's Burning Light by Victor William. Available on Amazon.com.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
That's my beer.
Hello, friend. My name is Rudy. I used to be gynecologist in Cuba. Now I sell car here in America in TDN Arosel.
TDN Arosel!
What do we have? We have car. We have motorbike. We have a guide dog. But somebody stole him.
It's not there.
I am a Cuban gynecologist and American auto salesman. I want to liberate this Chevy Impala from the car lot. I need to free mice this Ford Explorer. We are on official inspection station. Do you have bad credit? Start the revolution. People with bad credit driving everywhere. This is our address. This is our phone number. Pre-qualified in this website.
Hi.
I said, yeah!
Hello. No, it's crazy.
Hey, I'm with the government. They,
Yeah, and Tyler, when they ask you, who's this? You'd be like, this is the government.
This is the U.S.
I'm a
government.
G-man.
What's up? It's the U.S. government calling.
Represent.
Now, if you have real balls, you come to rural Florida and do that. Like, walk up on somebody on 5 acres who's armed to the T. You walk up.
Well, come on now.
With a swab. Yeah,
no. I'm waiting for you.
to go to a rural area, you're basically asking for a shotgun. And so,
you come with your swab and you say, I'm gonna swab you and take a sample.
Swab my knob.
You can swab this.
So Tyler, are you interested? I can send you the link. I
hey, what's up? I'm with the government.
$25 for everyone I recruit. So, you know.
Wow.
You know, so how much?
Like, it's like outsourcing.
Yeah.
How much?
$20 I'm kidding about the $25.
I was going to say, send that shit to me. I'll make the calls.
Tracy, did you?
And if people are stupid enough to take that stuff seriously, that's their problem. I'm just wondering, you know, I need the money.
So like the whole idea is in that way they can kind of start quarantining people. It's run by Bloomberg. And the and John Hopkins.
What a surprise! Wow, Bloomberg is behind something nefarious. Imagine my shock.
So
you'll be. It's run by Bill Gates. You'll be using Teams. It'll be okay.
Yeah, that's why you hear tracking and tracing. That's if you hear that term, that's what it means. Tracking and
holy
tracing.
Holy shit. I swear to God, this is some MK Ultra. This is crazy, man.
Oh, well,
this
you're
is
gonna take
crazy
there,
shit.
Tyler?
Yeah. Some fucking... This is what the conspiracy theorists talk about in their channels, and they're right. I'm starting to think they're right. Yeah. What the fuck is this shit?
For practical purposes, like the news keeps talking about, will we have enough tests? But nobody says, like, who's going to take these tests? You know, I wouldn't take a test until I was ill enough that I needed to go to the hospital, and then they can test me. Like, if somebody showed up here saying they had a test for me, I'd run them off of the property.
Yeah. Get out of here with your stupid test. I don't know what that crap is.
I don't want to go into a database, whether I test positive or negative. I don't want to be in a database. And these antibody tests, which at first I thought was a good idea, now they're talking about the primary use may be to identify people as asymptomatic spreaders. So if you go into a database as an asymptomatic spreader, then what happens to you? You know, there's no clear answers to these. I'm not trying to, like, make conspiracies, but there's no clear answers to these questions. So as long as I'm healthy, I'm going to continue to respect everyone's distance and not, you know, come in contact unnecessarily with people. But I'm not letting anyone test me for anything.
Well, they know this. So what's going to happen if they do this, which it's not confirmed that they're going to do this. They're seeing what they can get away with. But, like, I think that the idea would be you can't return to the workforce until you get clearance. So that'll get a lot of people to, like, involuntarily volunteer.
Oh, jeez.
Volunteer, you know?
And they've been, like, fooling around with that sort of scare tactic for like, a decade. Every couple of years, there's some state that tries to force mandatory vaccinations for the workforce, but mostly the flu shot for hospital workers.
Yeah, Vic, you remember you were working with the swine flu, and the nurses in New York, a lot of them were protesting.
Yep. Well, and I caught flack because they started one round, and this was like during that whole swine flu testing stage, so they were like putting swine flu in the regular flu shot, right? And I'm not one to really get the flu shot to begin with. Now, you know, you're putting some fucking, you know, experimental shit in my flu shot. I'm certainly not going to get that shit. So I said, go fuck yourself. I'm not getting that. So, you know, it was the first round, and they were scaring people left and right, saying, you know, if you don't get this between a certain time, you know, after this time has lapsed, you could lose your job. At first it was you have to mask, but, you know, and then they started really trying to scare you and say that you're going to lose your job. So they said, if you didn't get it this first round, next month it's going to be the last round. So I waited, and I waited as long as I could. And at the 0 hour, the state stepped in and said, that's illegal. You can't force someone to take a shot if they don't want but every couple of years they do this. They try to see what they can get away with.
The lesson here is procrastinate as long as possible. Procrastination is always a good thing.
Yeah. This new vaccine is going to be something more experimental than anything that's ever been produced, and there's all kinds of questions about it, and they're going to push it harder than anything's ever been pushed. And so I totally agree with Ramos. Procrastinate as long as you can on it. And for some of us will be able to procrastinate indefinitely.
Well, yeah, you're hidden away in the bayou over there. I mean, you're probably going to be able to hide in the swamp. But like,
they're going to push me hard, though. I'm in healthcare.
Yeah, Vic's in healthcare. I'm in real estate. I'm technically at work right now. So you can't keep me from – I'm on commission. I'm not on hours. So I actually wrote a contract earlier today before the show, and now I'm drinking a beer talking to you guys. And if something happened, I'd have to go and, you know – get back to work.
There is something to be concerned about. Well, I'm not going to talk about the stats because I have a feeling a lot of the people on this podcast no longer trust the stats, and that's cool. But there is this kid COVID matter.
Yes, I heard about it.
Scary, and you're getting the same scary shit, which is I first read about it in the Telegraph about 3 weeks ago, and there were 15 kids in England. And then nobody mentioned it again until about early last week, where somebody mentioned 65 kids in New York, in the world, right? Then 2 days ago, I heard 93 kids, and then today Cuomo in his press conference said 110 kids. So it seems to be growing, which is a scary thing. I would imagine that it's some sort. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's being artificially connected to COVID, but there's something afoot here. There's something bad going on, and now these kids are getting all these conditions. You had one 18-year-old in New York. You had a 5-year-old. You had a 9-year-old. So like, because like I don't remember if I was telling, I don't know if I was talking to anybody on this cast before, but when grandma dies, that sucks. It's horrible. But everybody still manages to stay cool. They're really sad, but they manage to stay cool. But when kids start dying, everybody goes apeshit. Like nobody.
Yeah, well, it's hard to know because there are a lot of bizarre, unexplained deaths of children still to this day, and they're just not normally newsworthy. So now, whether it's a conspiracy to tie something into COVID, or it's just that, you know, everything now is, you don't know if it's COVID related or not. It's very hard to distinguish what may or may not be real, or what may or may not be significant.
Yeah, so there's no way of knowing, but it's good to bring up, just, you know, because it is something that might be on the horizon.
Yeah, well, piggybacking off of John's point is that the hospitals and, well, hospitals in particular, there's a lot of monetary benefits to claiming COVID. So, you know, and they're being kind of steered in that direction as well. So I'll say that, I'll leave it there. But yeah, there's a lot of money involved in COVID. Just the diagnosing.
Well, yeah, you get it. I heard.
Yeah, and hospitals are struggling. You know, they're laying people off, and they're financially struggling. And then COVID, they don't always have the tests to do it. So sometimes they diagnose it just based on symptoms, and it's very it's very hard. Like I never paid any attention to Elon Musk, but I listened to something he said where he's against the lockdowns and all of that. He just opened up his factories, and he said, like, in some places, anyone who dies with shortness of breath or coughing or fatigue or stuff like that is labeled a COVID death, and probably everyone who dies has shortness of breath, and it's like symptoms of death. That
sure, and kidney failure, sepsis. There's a lot of common stuff that people are dying of that's being attributed to COVID. And so you could make the argument that it's just other stuff, but like I mentioned to everybody over the last couple of weeks, there have been more deaths in a lot of different countries than there were over the last 5 years during the, you know, this first quarter of 2020. I believe, I don't know if I don't know what COVID is or if COVID is, but I truly do believe that something is going on. Something very bad is going on.
Those are the exact same words, Ramos, that I said to my aunt just yesterday. That's exactly what I said. I don't know what or if it is, but it just seems like every day it morphs. The story of this thing morphs, and it's like the Lex Luthor of fucking viruses.
It's becoming more like a one size fits all, and it's not, and you could understand why people don't believe in that the idea of COVID, and I can't blame anybody for it. All I can say is that I truly believe that something bad is going on. Something extra is going on. I don't know what it is. I mean, statistically,
yeah,
you can't make up a bunch of death certificates. You know, I mean, millions of people would have to be involved in a conspiracy.
And Yeah, can you really imagine a conspiracy theory being so strong and sound that it shut down the entire fucking world?
Right, why would they go through all this trouble unless there was something else?
To shut down the entire world?
Not to say that we have to believe that the people in charge, that's why they closed it down, but they closed it down for a reason.
They closed it down for a reason, man. Yeah. Something terrible is happening. Well, it bothers me that I don't
know. Conspiracy theories are ridiculous, that if they require a lot of people, especially a lot of common people.
Exactly.
Or even a lot of politicians, you know, like Congress can't even keep things secret. So for a conspiracy theory to be plausible, it has to involve kind of like one person or one very small group throwing a rock into the water, and then all these ripples come out naturally from that. So right. you have to figure out how some small group at the top could do something that caused all of this reaction and ripples. And then the other way, sometimes a conspiracy theory could just evolve almost like an organism or a disease, where there's just people who have been acting a certain way. Like these epidemiologists and doctors and scientists, you know, they've warned us about these things over and over again that never materialized: swine flu and SARS and MERS and bird flu and all of this stuff. And it never happens the way they say it does. And it's kind of like meteorologists, you know, whenever there's a snowstorm or a hurricane or something, those guys are like in their heyday. And you can't really blame them, because if you have a passion for that field, you probably really get excited about a good storm, even though you know it's going to kill some people and destroy property and stuff. It's probably why you went into that field, is because you really have a passion for these extreme weather things. And then, of course, the news makes a profit. You know, when they predict a snowstorm, everyone tunes in to watch the news so they could see how bad's the snowstorm going to be. And then other people make a profit too. Like when there's a hurricane down here, everyone goes and wipes out the supermarkets. And same thing with a snowstorm up there. Everyone hoards food. So these different companies make a profit too. And so there's all kinds of natural behavior going on. And if you have to see conspiracies in terms of things that happen mostly natural with just a little push, maybe. And because you can easily start imagining that there's an FBI, the FBI is following you around all day, or everyone, that's when you get into schizophrenia, all those helicopters are following me. And everyone at the hospital is all in cahoots. You know, they're all like body snatched or something. And that stuff that's just the realm of schizophrenia. That's right. Not legitimate theory.
The deli is in it. The
right.
gas station attendant is in on it. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, if you're gonna pull something where the goal would be to shut down the entire world, you know, I would doubt that you would want to use something as inconsistent and unreliable as a virus, because they naturally mutate, right? So, and also you can have blowback. So if you're part of the cabal and you set this thing off, well, who's to say you're not going to catch it and die, right? I mean, you know, there are a lot easier ways to do it. Blackout in particular. I mean, if you want to hide something, you know, you do something like what happened in the early 2000s, like the whole Eastern Seaboard went down and nobody, I don't think anybody knows what happened at that point, you know. I mean,
Vic, 2003
everybody
knows what happened. Something went wrong in a power plant in Canada, come on.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Everybody knows it.
Oh, a tree fell in Ohio, that's right, I forgot.
Well, supposedly in studies they've done, a virus or a disease is one of the very few things that would bring the right wing in favor of giving up a whole bunch of freedom and lockdowns and stuff like that. And these, I mean, they do studies about everything all the time. So just because there was a study about it doesn't mean that that's what they're doing. But it's funny, like the right wing is kind of against all of this, even though it was predicted they would be in favor of it. Maybe the disease isn't bad enough.
No, who predicted that they would be in favor of it? I don't. I think from the beginning. I'm sorry to cut you off, but from the beginning, we knew that the lines were going to be drawn between conservatives thinking that it's a hoax and liberals thinking that it's going to end the world.
Well, that was. I mean, I heard there were studies back in the 80s and 90s, you know, long before this happened, but that's kind of been a media narrative, which it seems is shaping up. But I wonder how many people really are divided on, like, whether or not they want to get Trump in or out of office. It's kind of like being on an airplane that's crashing and you're trying to sabotage things enough to make the pilot look bad, or sabotage things just enough to make the pilot look good. So everyone's trying to sabotage their things in their own particular way.
Absolutely, the Clinton news, the CNN, they're basically in love. I have no doubt that the Clinton Democrats would love for this to extend past general election day so that they can get this guy out of office and blame him for everything.
Yeah, that's but true. On the one hand, think about it. On the one hand, if the virus turned out to be a hoax, Trump looks like a fool and probably doesn't get elected. If the world is in flames, we probably end up in a military dictatorship where nobody gets elected.
I think that if we get through this and it exposes a hoax, I think if we get through this and it's exposed and it turns out that it's a hoax, then I think at that point it makes the president look like a hero. It makes him look like he knew all along and he was taking precautions because his doctors were telling him to take precautions, but he knew all along and he opened up the country early and he encouraged people to protest, and he'll look heroic and he'll win. If this goes on and on through the summer, if this blows up in his face and all these states that are opening up start falling apart, then it's going to look like he fucked it up and he's going to take the fall. That's what this comes down to, I think.
At this point, I mean, there's so much spin going on and nobody seems to care anymore. I mean, like, you know, Trump was able to win in spite of all of his flaws, and nobody cares. And I mean, if the Democrats are serious about winning, would they push Biden in there? You know, it seems like a total joke, the whole thing.
Biden,
yeah.
I mean, it's almost like intentionally shooting themselves in the head. They're walking hand in hand off the cliff.
It's like playing with fire.
Like, what's being set up?
It's like playing with fire. You don't know what's going to happen. It's like lighting your house on fire because you want a new kitchen. And, you know, it's the same thing like picking, let's pick how much pandemic we'd like to have. Well, me personally, I'd like enough where a lot of assets crash so I could pick up a few things cheap. But I'd prefer not to starve to death or die of a disease. So, you know, how do I make that happen? I'd like things to be a little bad. And that's not how the economy is. You don't poke it with a stick and it reacts. You poke it with a stick and all these ripples go out and it takes months and months to react. And then you don't know.
Years and years.
It takes years. You don't know how bad things are going to be.
I've always found the economy very interesting because it's like the economy is like a living being that you can't really understand. Like things are easy to understand. You know, if you want to program, all you got to do is look up a tutorial, you know, and now you know how to open up a file and make a dictionary, you know. But if you look into the economy, it's so hard to predict. Even people who have been in the business of the economy and, you know, working on Wall Street.
Because it's all bullshit.
It's
that's why. It's all bullshit.
It's so manipulated.
It's all futures. It's all speculation.
Yeah, and it's so massive.
Yeah.
The economy doesn't have to be that difficult. It's really just about buying and selling. You know, I'm selling this to you. You are buying it. You're paying me. And the money just keeps moving. That's it. That's the fucking economy.
Yeah, but it's
all of this speculation, these fucking futures.
It's so massive. It's so massive. It's like the Titanic. You hit an iceberg and you're going to keep sailing along fine until the end of the movie. That's when you're going to find out what happens. You know, things start going exponentially once things collapse. It's like dominoes falling. So you don't get to see the results. Like a big ship, you know, you take on damage and you're just sailing along fine for maybe 6 hours, 10 hours, however long, until all of a sudden, you know, things, you take on too much water, things start breaking, things start exploding, catching fire, the ship cracks in half and goes down.
The quartet can't play anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're still talking.
Hey, guys, I got a call. Take from this what you will. I got a call today from my silver dealer, and he was trying to offload some silver. So take from that what you mean. They don't call you for no reason. They call you when there's like some sort of like big move about to happen that they feel they can capitalize on.
Maybe they got a big load of inventory in. Are they selling close to spot?
They're selling a little above spot, yeah.
Like a dollar above, something like that?
Yeah, the typical, about $1.50 above spot, yeah. So he calls and, you know, he acts friendly like I just had dinner with him, you know, 2 weeks ago. The guy lives in Minnesota. I haven't heard from him since, so like the idea is like they don't call you when, hey, they don't call you when there's a good deal. When they're like, hey, you know, like we've got a good deal. We wanted to, they don't call you when there's a good deal. He's not my friend, you know. They call you when they feel that there's a good opportunity. So take from that what you will. Silver is at, I think, 15-something today. It ended, and gold is at 17-something. So
when we're off, text me the company, if you don't mind. You probably don't want to say it on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and
I will.
The markets went extremely down today. I think this is the start of the start of something more, because I think what we just went through is the dead cat's bounce, and then we're just gonna, it's just gonna get fucked from here. And I'm pretty sure they're gonna use that as an excuse to close the country down for a few, maybe a month or two more. I don't know.
Well, I mean, our only hope is, and I said April 30th, so good luck with that, but like our only hope at this point is that we can get back in business and back on top in June, you know?
Yeah.
And like get through the summer and then hope that we don't get a second wave in the fall. But like if we can't even get ourselves together in June, then in July we might as well roll up into a ball and die.
And die, yeah, exactly.
It's going to be the rest of the year at that point.
Yeah, know, and something when you talk about the stock market, something to be aware of is the stock market is like split into two right now, where there's companies who are developing technology, you know, like work at home, video conferencing, podcasting, whatever. Those sectors, certain sectors of the economy, of the market, are way up, and then other sectors like airline, tourism, all of that stuff, retail is down in the toilet, and like online retail is up. So while you look at these numbers and you say, oh, today the stock market's doing good or today it's doing bad, it's actually being averaged out. What you're seeing is an average between the half of the market that's way up and the half of the market that's way down.
And let's not forget the Fed pumping all sorts of
money. Of course.
It's quantitative easing, buying bonds, all that stuff.
Shh. You might get found with two shots in the back of the head tomorrow. You know, you might commit suicide by shooting yourself 17 times.
Yeah.
Trillions, man. I mean, they say this is by far in the history of the world the biggest amount. It's crazy. I'm surprised. Like, I mean, I don't talk to many people. I don't know what aren't many people like up in arms about this and like screaming about it.
On the horizon, there's another $1,200 check on the horizon, guys.
Yeah, or 2,000 if Pelosi gets her way. 2,000 forever.
2,000. That's the universal base income, which is a very good possibility. If we can't open up in June, we're going to need UBI. We're going to need the universal base income if we can't get ourselves together in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's the fact.
What I find hilarious that not 2 months ago, they were slandering Andrew Yang for even bringing up the idea of everyone should get $1,000 a month because of automation. And now some fuck guy eats and they want to give everyone $2,000 a month? What the fuck?
I know. Speaking of...
Nah. If Pelosi wanted to do something, she would have done, you know, something in the first place, and she didn't.
Andrew Yang. The DNC tried to cancel. The DNC has been canceling primaries where Biden has a chance of losing delegates, and they've been letting the ones where Biden is going to sweep go, right?
Yeah.
So they tried to cancel the New York DNC about 3 weeks ago. A judge ruled that they have to keep it open. So now there is an opportunity to do an absentee ballot for a New York primary, and they also tried to wipe out Sanders and Yang because they're no longer in the primary. So they tried to wipe them off the New York ballot, and that was shot down, last I heard. So if you want to do an absentee ballot, if you don't want to die because you voted and go get sick somewhere, then you could actually request an absentee ballot by mail, which I did a couple of days ago. So you should take the time to do that, because otherwise you're either going to have to go to the polls and stand in line with a bunch of lepers,
yeah,
or not vote at all. So if you are interested, if you are a registered Democrat, I don't know how many registered Democrats there are on this podcast, but like,
I'm not even a registered voter. I'd rather be a registered sex offender. <Russ Jane. laughs>
At least you had something to show for it.
But really, vote for what? I mean, what the hell am I voting for? No. Biden, get the hell out of here.
They kept on Andrew Yang, who actually led the lawsuit to get the primaries back in New York.
Wow.
So I'll give him some credit for
that. Jesus.
Yeah,
I liked his vote yourself rich philosophy. He was the most honest candidate, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's true.
Unfortunately, honest candidates don't win. That's an unfortunate truth.
Oh, yeah.
What, are you asking for an honest politician?
I think that's a bit too much of a tall order there. I don't think they exist.
It's an oxymoron.
That's for the moon, yeah. But
well, it's like Christopher says, right? You say that basically you can't expect politicians to be good people. But if you have the rules, the right rules in place, and you apply them, that's how you keep things in check.
Yep. Checks and balances.
Yeah. So. But anyway, I just figured I'd bring that up for any Democrats listening in to actually send out a request for an absentee ballot, if you want. I just wanted to bring that up, and for whoever's listening as well, to do that.
You don't want to get the fucking super virus. You don't want to die.
If you vote for Biden, I don't know what to say, man. It's hard. It's really hard to just have.
I thought about it. I disagree with people who Biden, but some people are entirely engrossed in this anti-Trump rhetoric, and I get that too. Like, the guy's an idiot. Like, you know, you're not. It's like pitting two people of 30 IQ in like a match of the wits. Who really wins? Who really wins that battle? No one. You know, you have.
I don't know, but I can tell you who loses.
Let me tell you. I know some of you guys are Democrats, and you gotta or liberal,
not me,
or whatever. I don't want to label you, but
not me.
If you feel like everyone's a bunch of clowns, which I subscribe to that philosophy, you have to vote for Trump because Trump is a yes. fun clown and Biden is a sad clown. And yeah. we need fun in the coronavirus. We don't need more sorrow. So you don't want a sad clown running the country.
Yeah. Biden
would most likely put in a committee because I really do think the guy's not all there. So he could be president, but they would most likely put in a committee of Clinton and Obama aides who would kind of make decisions by committee. And that's okay sometimes, but it's hard in a crisis. And that's why, like, governors always make better presidents than senators, usually, not always, because senators are used to being a part of a big group of people who get together and make decisions, whereas governors are executives. They have to run something and lead.
That's
why businessmen, too, make decent presidents, even though, I mean, Trump is the first one we've had, but Ross Perot tried for it. Bloomberg has tried for it. Other people have tried for it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it's just, I see the current political landscape to myself, who do I really want in office? And the eventual conclusion I come to is nobody. Nobody who's running right now deserves that seat. Yep. Any way you slice it, you have Trump, idiot. You have Biden.
Who really wants that
seat?
Think about what they're going to be inheriting.
I brought that up to a friend of mine. Trump could pull an Atlas Shrugged move where he just says, listen, you guys can all go fuck yourselves. I'm not doing this job. And yeah. that would shatter the political process, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's true. Who wants that job? Especially, you know, anybody, whether whatever party they're a member of, whatever their philosophy is, not only are they going to have probably the hardest job of any American president in recent history or ever, but also they're going to get torn apart every day by the other party, by the media. They're just going to get criticized and probably sued and impeached and, you know, trashed in the media. So who would want to do that?
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said to that. Although I'm sure that if Trump dropped out, there would be Republicans who would jump at the chance. Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah, people would line up for it. But what kind of people are they? They're not statesmen.
Well, mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, well, Mitt Romney, which was
47%.
Yeah, but you're assuming that they're for the people, you know. They're not for the people. They're for their friends, you know.
Mitt Romney's just part of the.
They're for their constituents.
Mitt Romney is like John McCain. We ran John McCain for president. I mean, we as a nation, not we as Republicans. They run John McCain. Everyone hated John McCain. The right hated him. The left didn't like. The left liked him a little bit, but not enough to vote for him. He beats Mitt Romney for the nomination and loses the election, of course, to Obama. And then later, the next election, they say, let's run Mitt Romney, who already lost the primary, to someone who everyone hated. And maybe he'll do better. It doesn't make any sense. And it's the same thing they're doing now with Biden. People wanted Hillary instead of Biden. So he's another loser that they didn't want, and they preferred Sanders too over Biden last time round. It's just that now Biden's the establishment candidate, so it's like, why do you keep recycling these people? Are there so few people in the world who you could run for president, that you have to run like elderly losers that nobody likes.
It's like they told us in kindergarten. Anyone here can be president if your last name is Bush or Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in defense, I'm not a big Biden fan, but like blaming anybody for losing the election, the primaries to Hillary Clinton is not fair because the game was rigged. Nobody was beating Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Oh, yeah, I agree, but
yes.
Someone, a really strong candidate, could have came out of nowhere. But nobody in the
did.
Pack of...
Bernie Sanders, it did. Bernie Sanders.
Yes, Bernie Sanders was in 2016, and he was sabotaged and...
He would have probably won, except that he had a greater obstacle than the American people, which was the DNC. In 2016, and that's what happened, you know, and that's what happened there, and you could, you know, we can get into the fraud of Bernie Sanders, but
yes, that's another issue too. If he really wanted to win, he could have done a much better job. The guy's a clown.
Jogging with Christian, and I told him, you know. Bernie Sanders, you know, if he really wanted to in 2016, he could have been like, you either stop pulling this shit to steal the nomination from me, or I'm going to go independent and none of us are going to win. We're just going to give it to the Republicans.
Yeah, the problem is these guys just give up and give all their delegates else who know.
Right.
Which is what happened with Biden. And
yeah, they negotiate for shit that doesn't matter to like the people. It matters to them. They
yeah, Sanders could have wrote it out to the convention and like you say, said, I'm going to go third party if I don't get the nominee.
And that would have been it. It would have been over at that point. There would have been no chance that we wouldn't have even gotten our usual 51-49% thing that we get every election.
Well, that was part of like Trump. Remember they asked, everyone was horrified. They asked Trump, will you accept the results of the election? And he said something like, well, we'll see, you know, when he was against Hillary, he was already gearing up to call it all fraud. So, you know, he was willing to fight. And I think the other people in the primary, I mean, he ran, I haven't paid much attention to him. I avoid the news like it's a mental disease because it is. And, you know, I just went back and I watched some of the clips from the debates because now they're in a compilation. You don't have to watch this whole thing. So some of the clips, he ran rings around like Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush and these other guys who were running, who were establishment.
What is going on in the background? Somebody sounds like, I don't know, like there were... They're making rice. They're straining rice or something. What is going on in the background over there?
I heard dishes crying.
No, that wasn't me.
It just looks like it just sounds like a giant bowl, like a giant pot of rice got emptied out into something metal.
Well, hopefully it's over. Yeah, like I said last time, I think Trump. It was easy for Trump to make the others look bad by him just being honest and pointing out their crap. And the other politicians don't usually do that. And people love to see that.
I'm sorry, Chris. There's just something is in the background. I hear it's like something tinkling going on.
No, I don't hear that.
Oh, I've been hearing that. That's John's. John's probably out on the porch with the crickets.
Outside, into a pail or something of some sort, to the milk pail. John, are you pissing in the milk pail?
Or
Vic.
Or Vic.
Hey.
I mean, you know, in the country there, you know, with the crickets.
Oh my God! It's just you're hearing all these sounds. You're hearing tinkling sounds. I'm just waiting for the flush. That's what I'm waiting for. You know.
Oh, Mara flushed the toilet like a minute ago.
Bingo.
Yeah, somebody's tinkling. All right, we found our culprit, apparently. Hey, you know what? What else is going on? Cable is dying. Like
it's about time. Cable's been on a ventilator for like 10 years now.
No pun intended.
It's been like a lot of people are jumping to streaming channels now. So like you've got Hulu, you've got Netflix, you've got Amazon, you've got HBO that's jumping in. You've got Disney Plus. You've got
Everybody's streaming, man.
You've got CBS. You've got the Peacock for NBC.
Cable is still 2005.
Yeah, no, it's and like
you've got Putlocker. You've got 1-2-3 movies. You have the Russian mafia. You have the Koreans, the Chinese. You have Pirate Bay.
Pirate Bay.
LimeWire.
You've got BitTorrent. You have Morpheus.
Silk Road.
You have America Online,
Napster. They're making a comeback.
Napster. You have Kaza.
Soul
the Pirate Bay, he says.
And we got, and you know, so this is happening. Everybody's opening up Wisconsin. I just got an alert here that Wisconsin's Supreme Court struck down the stay-at-home order. So they've ruled the stay-at-home order to be unconstitutional.
And it is!
Now, it's a Republican Supreme Court. That being said, it is pretty significant that this happened. Because it sets a precedent.
Oh, yeah, it's totally... The Constitution's out the window. Like, telling people you can't go to church. You know, that's pretty clear in the Constitution. And there's no mechanism to end like the Bill of Rights and stuff like that. They really what they would have to do is amend the Constitution in an emergency session, but they haven't done that. It's like all of a sudden like mayors have more power than any president ever had in the history of the United States.
The suit was filed specifically against the State Department of Health Services. So basically, it's become a war between Republican governors and Republican leaders versus the health secretaries, like the health system, CDC, and the state health system. So it's like the medical world versus the political world. It's like a very interesting dynamic that's happening at this point. So we're going to see.
Well, I mean, yeah, we kind of saw this happening. A lot of the states outside of the coasts are going to start like opening up. I mean, I don't think we called forcibly opening up, but yeah, I mean, I don't see anything happening around us, around you know, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. I don't think that there's anything happening here in Pennsylvania until maybe first week of June, second week of June at the earliest. But the thing is, they could open up tomorrow, but the damage is done. Who the fuck wants to go out there?
Yeah, and we're not supposed to...
Psychologically, we're
not supposed to have doctors and the medical establishment running the country. We are supposed to have leaders, just like we're not supposed to have economists running it. We're not supposed to have anyone in a particular microcosm, meteorologists, whoever it is. We're supposed to have leaders who take all the information together and then hopefully make wise decisions based on it. Nobody wants to live in a dictatorship of healthcare. I mean, think how out of control doctors could get.
You are correct. You're 100% correct. But my point is the damage is done psychologically. I mean, you could open up tomorrow, and I personally know a bunch of people that will fight tooth and nail and say, listen, I don't feel safe.
For sure.
So you got to somehow – yeah, you have to somehow convince people that – not only are they forcibly opening up, but it's safe out there. And you can't, how can you do that?
The only,
you've just spent 3 months telling people don't go out.
The only way that the majority of the population would feel safe going out is if the pandemic was proved a hoax, which I agree with you guys that something is happening and it's probably not going to be proved a total hoax. But there are plenty of places that you open up and very few people are going to go. Like Disneyland, who's going to go to Disney World?
Calling Dr. Howard. Dr. Howard.
You know, Disney World, it's run by Mickey Mouse and a giant rat. Do you really want to go see a giant rat in the middle of a plague?
No, I don't.
And people are worried about not just getting the disease at some place like Disney World, but also it's not the time to drop to maybe $2,500 to $5,000 on a vacation for your family when you don't know if you're going to have food.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck it.
Yeah, my dad was a real hero. He took all of us to Disney World and then we all starved to death next month. it doesn't make sense.
Honey, it's cheap. Get the car.
After grandma passed away, then, you know, after that, daddy went bankrupt and that was the end of it.
We went to,
exactly.
We went to, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And while we were there, we didn't have anything to eat. To resort to cannibalism. It was a fun trip to Disneyland.
Did you feel alive during the trip? Oh. That's the question.
I felt dead.
But I'm bummed.
We went to Epcot and I saw someone get eaten alive because no one had any money for food.
Yeah, but you know, right now we have a burst of support for small businesses like restaurants. The people who really loved going to their restaurant and they're going out and supporting. Even this one girl I know who works at a restaurant, they just opened up legally because in Florida they can. And the people are coming for takeout food and giving some of them are giving $20 tips. When normally you don't tip, if you go and pick up the food, you don't leave a tip.
Yeah.
But that can only last so long because people, it's easy to be charitable once or twice to try and give somebody a boost. You can't just start supporting somebody permanently.
Yes.
If your neighbor is down on his luck, you could maybe go over there once and give him a couple $100 and say, hey, man, this is a gift. Don't worry about paying it back. But you can't pay his bills every week for a year.
Yeah.
Buy him a bottle of Ripley wine.
That'll hold you over. What flavor?
There you go.
What flavor do you have, Vic? Is it?
Oh, I have pagan pink. Pagan pink, baby.
Fuck me! You actually drank that shit. That's the kind of shit that nightmares are made of. That's the kind of shit.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that's what you did before you go out with your friends.
Pagan.
You're full of shit. I bought that shit because of you.